When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The Gravel Yard Bluegrass Band was literally formed in an actual gravel lot deep in the Ozark Mountains. Fueled by moonlit jam sessions, a group of several guys quickly realized that they had something more. It became an eclectic amalgamation of hard-driving traditional bluegrass, juxtaposed with a soulful country and Americana flavor. Aaron Ferris, one of the group's founders, joins me to talk about this unique blend of music and their upcoming recorded project.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us this afternoon. You are in Arkansas, is that right?
That is correct. I'm in the Gravel Yard, and we're a bluegrass band based out of Arkansas, believe it or not.
Yeah. How long have you guys been together?
So this iteration of the lineup has been together for about a year, but the Gravel Yard entity has existed for probably two or so years.
Yeah.
And we actually started in Mountain View, Arkansas, in an actual gravel yard.
I was going to ask you about that and the origins of your name. So, yeah, please tell me.
Yeah. So we were originally, a lot of us are originally from Mountain View, Arkansas, that whole area up there. It's, they built themselves as the folk music capital of the world, and that's where I'm from.
Okay.
And so the cool thing about it is you can come from anywhere and bring your acoustic instrument, and on a Friday or Saturday night, they just have jams all over town. And you can just go from one jam to the next.
Really?
And this... Yes, yeah, it's very,
that's
very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so my group started playing in an actual gravel yard there, and one by one we started picking players up, and then the locals and kind of visitors started asking if the Gravel Yard Band was going to be around, so we just kind of ran with the moniker.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, were you living there at the time, and you're not there now, or lived close by? How did all of that work?
My family is actually from there.
Okay.
So my grandfather is from a little bitty town up there called Timbo. And my grandmother's from a little bitty town called Fox, and my dad grew up in the Mountain View area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually where I grew up. Since then, I have moved. I still live in Arkansas, but I've moved from there. But I actually lived in Mountain View for probably the first 20-some-odd years of my life almost.
Okay.
And still go back up there to visit family and stuff like that. And, of course, with the music and play and things like that. So,
did all you guys know each other at all before connecting there in the gravel yard?
Not really.
Okay.
No. Which is what's cool about it. So, you know, there's a lot of really good bluegrass bands that go get players from, you know, Tennessee, Carolina, Missouri. You know, they mm-hmm. kind of put the best players they can find together. But what's cool about this group is every single player we have is from Arkansas. They're all from Arkansas. A lot of us are from the same town. We actually, the first album we cut had the original lineup. But we actually, as a group, decided to kind of start spreading out a little more. And some of those players weren't as into that as well. So we had a little bit of a lineup change. So this second album has a new lineup. But every player is from the state of Arkansas. And three of us are from Mountain View.
And I'm taking it that all of you were playing in some other iteration with other guys or something before you guys got together?
Yeah, so the rundown on the group is I play upright bass, and I'm from Mountain View. Tiffany Turner and Titus Turner are the banjo player and mandolin player, respectively. They're mm-hmm. also both from Mountain View.
Okay.
So the three of us obviously have a very old-school, traditional, hard-driving approach to bluegrass.
Yeah.
We're all three have that. The guy who sings lead for us is Christopher Denny, and his vocals, I'm sure that you've heard, are pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
They're very different.
Yeah.
He actually had his own group for a little while, and then he stopped doing that and was just kind of hanging out. And so when the old group kind of fractured, we brought him in to sing lead vocals for us. So his background is actually Americana and kind of folky, kind of singer-songwriter.
He has that
so,
folky sound to his voice, yeah.
Right? Yeah, he sounds like he's from, like, the 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can imagine a radio crackling, you know, and what you hear coming through, that's what he sounds like.
Yeah.
So he's got kind of a folky Americana approach to it, and I think I have that same Americana approach. So we connected there to bring kind of an Americana and folk side to this album and to this group.
Yeah.
And then Cliff Prowse, who plays fiddle for us, and Matt Clampett, who plays guitar, those guys actually grew up with more of a rock kind of influence and like a rock country blues rock kind of influence. So in the album, you'll hear moments of, you know, there are moments in there where it sounds like Peter Frampton, you know?
Yeah.
And so those influences come hard from those guys and things like that. So the cool thing about it is we all have a lot of different influences, but to meld them all together, the umbrella term is, it's bluegrass, but you know, it's bluegrass, it's Americana, it's folk, it's country. It's kind of all of that rolled into one.
Yeah, yeah. I took a spin through the album link that you sent earlier, and you're right. It's the first song I listened to. I thought, this is going to be some pretty good traditional grass. But then you guys bounced pretty far to the other side, and kind of back and forth throughout the album in different tones. So I like that you've got that mixed up flavor there a little bit.
Absolutely. And even the ones that we do, you know, so we're going to do like the really traditional stuff. We love that stuff. We're going to do like Crying Holy to the Lord. We're going to do Dark Hollow. You know, those are classics. But even Dark Hollow, it has its own flavor, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people really rip Dark Hollow. You know, they really get it driving, get that good old J.D. Crow kind of sound of Dark Hollow. But actually the way we do it is a little bit softer. It's kind of a backed off approach. And it's to me, it's a little more kind of melodic or melancholy. And I'm not saying that one's better than the other. I just think it's a different approach to some of those classics, and we do that a lot with those classic bluegrass tunes.
Yeah, your treatment of that song really caught me. I saw the song, and I thought, well, we'll see how you guys, you know, your version of that, but it was definitely unique.
It's cool, isn't it? It's different, right?
Right.
And like I said, I'm not here to say, that's the way you're supposed to do Dark Hollow. I don't know that it is, but that's our interpretation of a classic like that.
And so, I assume that was just Christopher singing.
That's Christopher Denny.
Yeah.
Christopher Denny singing lead on Dark Hollow.
It really adds another twist to that song. So yeah, good job on that.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
Are you guys writing some of your own material as well?
So everything else on that album is original.
Okay.
So on our album, Dark Hollow is a cover. Everything else on the album is original except for, I believe it's track number 7, which is West Virginia, which is, of course, in the Hazel Dickens catalog.
Mm-hmm.
That one I thought came out really, really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, again, is more of he's got a singer-songwriter kind of folk vibe. So when we got together, he's like, man, have y'all ever done West Virginia? And I was actually not familiar with the song.
Yeah.
But he started doing it, and I was like, man, we've got to do this
one.
There's no question we got to do this. But the rest of them are all original.
Yeah.
Dark Hollow and West Virginia, My Home are two covers. Everything else on the album is original. So, yes, we are writing. We're writing now. We've got we've probably got enough material to do other albums, you know, moving forward already. But
great.
We continue to press and do things that are different, hopefully.
Or do you guys write collectively? Do you have one person doing most of the writing and everybody else kind of shaping the songs? Tell me a little bit about your process.
So the process with writing is like we again all have kind of come from our own background. So a lot of what you hear on this album, one person did the majority of the writing and then would bring it to the group, and we would kind of all give our treatment to it. So like Strange Times, the first track, is a song that I actually wrote a long time ago.
Okay.
That's a long time ago. I had the lyrics set and the chords and stuff a long time ago, but with the pandemic, right, we're all sitting around on our hands. We're not playing a whole lot of live shows.
Right.
It's hard to get them. So I think you're seeing kind of a renaissance of all this great music that people have been working on or sitting on just because they didn't have the time to do it. So that's actually where Strange Times came from. It was an older song. I introduced you to the group. They're like, man, this is really cool. Strange Times fits what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It works. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's do this. I brought that in, and then as collectively, you know, everybody would say, hey, I like this part. I like this part. Let's do this. Let's add this. And I think the track came out really, really nice. I think with one that it's kind of a thrill ride, that whole song. It's topsy-turvy. It's kind of off. You don't really know what's going to happen next. But the with a song like that, I think you have the opportunity to be very choppy, but the cut to me is seamless as it rolls through, even mm-hmm. through all those different parts. So it's, yeah. it's very rollicking. It's a lot of fun to listen to personally,
yeah.
I think,
but yeah.
I'd love for other people to be the judge of that.
Sure.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
We met
IBMA.
Yeah. Folk Alliance was a little bit later. And was that your first time at IBMA?
That was personally my first time to the business conference in IBMA. Now, a lot of the members of our group have obviously been to IBMA before, but we had not done the business conference, so we literally just kind of went around the room like, hey, who wants to do the business conference portion of IBMA? And lucky me, I was the one that everybody kind of was like, we need to send Aaron. So that was my first venture into the business conference of IBMA, but I had a great time. And I think, again, like I said, when you hear bluegrass, immediately you move to kind of the Appalachian side mm-hmm. of what that is. So you mm-hmm. immediately think of Virginia, you think of North Carolina, you think of Tennessee, you think of Kentucky. Even Ohio, you know, has kind of carved out their own sound for
sure.
bluegrass. They have that working class bluegrass, you know.
Yeah.
You don't immediately think of Southern Missouri or Arkansas as like bluegrass off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I think as a group, we would like for this album to kind of go beyond the bounds of Arkansas, because I think Arkansas has a really unique vantage point that maybe people aren't used to hearing a
mm-hmm.
whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
We have the privilege of being where that Appalachian region kind of meets the Delta.
Mm, yep.
And so if you think of someone like Johnny Cash, right, would you say that guy's a blues singer? Well, not off the top of your head, but in a lot of ways, he is a blues singer,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and his music is blues. It's rock. It's country. It's not bluegrass, but
right.
it sure works like bluegrass. So
right.
I think if you listen to our album, you'll hear kind of our own approach to bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
It does have some rock elements. It does have some blue notes. It's got a lot of blues influence, but I think that's what Arkansas has as a vantage point for that. And we'd love to be, you know, not that we are the ambassadors, but we'd love to be the ambassadors for, hey, Arkansas plays bluegrass too. And here's what it sounds like.
Yeah. One of the things I actually, you kind of segued really nice into the question I had was, what do you think makes Arkansas bluegrass different? And you kind of answered some of that. Do you, the other folks that are in the Arkansas area playing bluegrass, are you all kind of, do you have this, I know this is a subjective question, but does Arkansas have a distinctive identity with bluegrass? Can an aficionado go, oh yeah, that's kind of Arkansas bluegrass versus that's Virginia bluegrass kind of thing?
I don't know that it's so distinct that you could pick out, hey, that's Arkansas bluegrass versus straight up, you know, Virginia bluegrass. Because I think if you do the classics, you're going to do the classics.
Sure.
You know, everybody's going to do. Everybody wants to sound like Earl Scruggs. Everybody wants to sound like Tony Rice.
Right,
so
right, right.
I don't know that you mess with, you know, near perfection, right? But that being said, yeah, I think the answer to that question is yes. I think that Arkansas does have its own way that we approach bluegrass. I know that, again, that band of Appalachia that runs from, you know, Virginia to Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
You know, Kentucky, it, that band eclipses the top of Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
and it eclipses the bottom of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that whole band right there in the top of Arkansas and the bottom of Missouri, I think that whole band in there has its own kind of approach to the way that bluegrass sounds and the way that we do what we do. Because,
sure.
again, we do have a lot of Appalachian influence, but we also have a lot of Delta influence and blues influence.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you see those meld there
yeah.
probably more so than you would just in like straight Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And that's,
yeah.
again, that's kind of subjective, but I believe that.
Yeah. I like that though. That's a good way to put it. Do you guys have I'm assuming that there's day jobs and this is still weekend warrior kind of approach. Do you have a goal in mind with the band, where you'd like to see you end up?
Yeah, we of course obviously do all have day jobs. We're working our day jobs. It definitely is a weekend warrior kind of thing right now. But that being said, I don't think any of us would mind if we literally got to the point where we were doing this all the time.
Yeah.
If there are, you know, people out there, promoters or bluegrass festivals and people listen, we'd love to come play. We'll play any bluegrass festival, play any event that you got going on. Like I said, we'd love to push outside of the bounds of Arkansas. And, you know, we've played Missouri, we've played Oklahoma, we've played Tennessee and things like that. But we'd love to get to where we're traveling a lot and playing a lot and doing things like that a lot. And so, yeah, we just plan to keep releasing music and keep keep working to get to that point where we can actually hopefully set aside our day jobs and say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. let's play bluegrass full time.
Yeah. Well, we were talking off air about the times that we're in and how that's been made a little more difficult lately to make that happen. Do you have a schedule for this year and some travel dates already and festivals?
Yes, we do. So you can always visit us online. It's www.thegravelyard.com. So www.thegravelyard.com. And if you're interested in purchasing the album, if you're interested in hiring us or whatever, there's a section down at the bottom where you just fill out the little chat box and send it. It'll send it straight to us. We can, if you know, there's a lot of bluegrass fans I know that do by mail and check, which mm-hmm. is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. So we can get it to you through the mail. We can get it through the check. It's a good old-fashioned. Back in the day, they called them CDs. We
right.
do good old-fashioned CDs.
I hear they're on the way back, so that would be encouraging.
Yeah, that's very encouraging, right? Especially for, you know, for a group that are touring and playing. Yeah, you know, CDs, you can't beat it, in my opinion. But
yeah.
So we do that, but we do have a lineup of shows that we're going to be playing. So this year we're playing the Ozark Mountain Music Festival in January.
Awesome.
We're going to be playing the Yodeloo Music Festival, which is in North Little Rock, I want to say in like the May time. And then we're actually playing Hillbury, which is a pretty big bluegrass festival in Eureka Springs in Arkansas.
Okay.
And so like Sam Bush headlined Hillbury this year.
Yeah.
You know, Infamous String Dusters, Railroad Earth, really, really phenomenal bands. We're going to be playing Hillbury later this year. So that's one we've got. And of course, like every bluegrass band, we're going to go around doing churches. We're going to go around playing little, you know, festivals and little events and things like that. So all of that will be on the website. It's www.thegravelyard.com. But if you are interested in coming to see us, if anybody wants to come down to the good old south, you know, southern Midwestern region, Arkansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Missouri, that'd be a great spot to come visit with us.
And the new record, Strange Times, not quite out yet. Is that right? Almost.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It will officially be released on Friday. So we're gonna have a party.
Yeah.
In North Little Rock, and we're gonna actually release the album on Friday. So, be looking. You know, if you're out there listening, be looking for that. So
and that's Friday, January 7th. So depending on when you're listening to this, it's either
it could have already happened.
It could already be out. So you can definitely go to the website and get that for sure. And you mentioned a little earlier that you've already got some new material in the bag and you're working on. How far out do you wait before you put the next one together?
I think we get this one out. We see what it does, see how it does. And then it just, like you were saying, we do have jobs still at this point, but it's just going to be kind of when we can get everybody's schedule to flow again and get everything to work out. But I mean, I'd be hoping that we could get at least a single or something out this year, you know, later this year. I'd love for that to happen. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it won't. But I'd love for us to be able to get new material out later this year if we can find the time to do that. But I think, you know, I think for a group that's in the position that we're in, I think that's what you have to do is you have to keep putting new material out there so that hopefully somebody will be like, man, that was kind of cool. I kind of enjoyed that. I'd love to hear more of what they've got.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you develop a fan base. So.
What's the first single folks can look for off of this record? They can call XM or their local radio station that plays bluegrass and ask for what? What are you going to release first?
So I think like we're actually going to release the entire album. So anything this Friday, anything that is on the album, the kind of title track is the Strange Times song. So if you guys are interested in that, it's called Strange Times off of the Strange Times album with the Gravel Yard. There's a tune called The Stories We Tell on there, which is a kind of a twist on a gospel tune. It's mm-hmm. an original tune of ours. It actually sounds very John Prine-ish.
Okay.
If you're a John Prine fan, it sounds very John Prine-ish. There's a track called Raleigh on there, and that's a track that people really, really enjoy. So any of those, you know, like I said, just we're going to get it up on Spotify, YouTube, all the platforms where you'd have music. So go listen to it. If there's some of that you would like to hear, please call your local radio station, call, you know, any places that are playing music and tell them that you want to hear The Gravel Yard and then Strange Times or Raleigh or The Stories We Tell or what have you. Any of the songs on this album will be fair game.
Yeah, and I would encourage folks to listen to your version of Dark Hollow as well. That one.
Yeah, West Virginia.
I
let that one out.
Yeah,
West Virginia is very unique.
Yeah.
Dark Hollow came out really nice. Cliff Prowse, the fiddle player, has one called Traveling On. And that's, to me, Traveling On has the most kind of like modern pop country approach
yeah,
to
it's,
it.
Yeah, it's got a good progressive sound to it. Yeah, I listen.
Yeah,
to
it,
that
does, well. It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah, in a lot of ways. So, like, if you're into that kind of thing, I think this album is eclectic enough that no matter what kind of genre you know, if you're a diehard traditional bluegrass fan, I think we've got enough of that to where you're going to enjoy it. If you are, you know, if you're interested in stuff that's a little more progressive, I think this is eclectic enough that you should find something that you would like on this album. So yeah, please, we'd love for people to call in and request them.
Yeah. Good. Well, congratulations on the new record. It's good stuff. And I certainly wish you well with it. And I hope you get some solid dates booked. I hope all the bands do. And we look forward to catching you out there on the circuit somewhere.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.